Thank you for ministering to us in song. Thank you, Brother Joshua. What a blessing, privilege to hear you tonight, and you're in for it now. I mean, you're to be commended tonight. Stay around for the two old men that have followed here, and thank you again for your faithfulness and just the privilege this week of being present, being with you. I appreciate the privilege of being supported as one of your missionaries. We're grateful for that. And I appreciate the privilege of following Brother Willie. And I'm going to try to do something tonight that's very dangerous. Very dangerous. And we're not in competition. I'm going to attempt to take also the subject of vision tonight. And we didn't compare our notes, so it's just going to be a dangerous time. But I trust that I'll not take from and not add to either, but it'll just simply be a continuation. But I need your help, and I ask that you pray. I want you to bow your heads now. I'm going to ask if there'd be a man that would just pray right now for us. And pray for me, and pray for you as a congregation right now, that God would meet with us right now. We need His presence.
Dear God, I ask that you bless him and help his people. I ask that you give him the right words, the right spirit. And you just anoint him with your Holy Spirit and with power. I ask that when he preaches, you touch our hearts. I ask that you would open our hearts and our minds.
Amen.
Take away all distractions. Take away all prejudices. Lord, I ask that we would open-minded, that we would actually seek you, and we would want to know and want to hear what you have to tell each and every one of us. We do not look to our neighbor, but look to ourselves. I ask that you bless the rest of this meeting. I ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, who will be worthy. Amen.
Amen. Amen. That passage again in Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, where there is no vision, the people perish. And we've heard not only do souls perish, will souls perish when a people do not have a vision? God's people don't have a vision, but God's people are going to perish as well when they do not have a vision. But look at the second half of the verse. It does depend upon obedience. He says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. He that keepeth the law, he that is obedient to the word of God, happy, and not only does it mean happy, but it means he'll be blessed. There'll be the blessing of God. I like to try to define vision tonight as Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Now, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, God has a vision, He has a purpose, He has a plan for every single child of God. And I know what many are thinking tonight, well, you know, that's okay for our missionaries, and that's okay for your preachers, and that's okay for elders and pastors, but, you know, maybe that's not for me. I want you to know tonight that God has a vision, He has a ministry, He has a purpose, He has a plan, He has something just for you. Just for you and nobody else. It's tailor-made, if you please. Just for you. So let's look at some examples, if you please. Look with me in Genesis and chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13, verses 14 through 17. And God's vision for you, it can be just as real and just as literal as this was for Abraham. Abram, as he was still known. Verse 14, Genesis 13, and the Lord said to Abram, after the lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes. He took him up to a mountain. lift up now thine eyes. The disciples had a problem with seeing. In John chapter 4, verse 35, he said, say not, isn't it a common everyday saying, don't you say it every day, that there's 4 months and then cometh the harvest? He said, I say unto you, lift up your eyes. Look on the fields. They're white already unto harvest. Lift up your eyes happened to be a command. If you're going to lift up your eyes, it's going to take some, well, dictionary says, conscious exertion. It takes some effort. You're going to lift something. You're going to be conscious and some strength, some effort, some exertion is put forth to lift up. Lift up your eyes. We got to get our eyes off of ourselves. Quit being the center of our own little world. All these little things that that we're in, so entangled with, and we can't see what's out there because here's where our eyes are at. He says, "Lift up your eyes." And then he says, "Look on the fields." To look, the dictionary says, is to see with understanding or recognition. Many people see, but they don't see. They have eyes, but they can't see. The unsaved are like the idols. We're always like that which we're trusting in. The unsaved who trust in idols are like the idols they're trusting in. And some of us are revealing the fact of what an idol in our life. We can't see. We're not seeing. We've got eyes, but we do not see. We do not see with understanding or recognition. That isn't God's plan, God's will. That's not what God has for you as a believer in Jesus Christ tonight. Abram was told in verse 14, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place. We've had that introduction tonight about where. Where? It's from a place. From the place where thou art. And Abram was to look as far as he could see to the north and to the south and to the east and westward. For all the land, he says in verse 15, which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I'll make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and the breadth of it. And then it's repeated again in verse 17, the last phrase, I will give it unto thee. It has to be of the Lord. It has to be of Him. Now, this was Abram, who was later called Abraham, the friend of God. God called him His friend. In Genesis 18, verse 17, as God was about to reveal to Abraham the destruction that was going to come on Sodom and Gomorrah, He made a statement. Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Then notice, God could trust Abraham. And He said in verse 18, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Verse 19, I know him. God said, I know him. That he will command his children and his household after him. They shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. Now, I'm not too sure that this is the way the Lord wants it. But, you know, he had an inner circle. And those three had got to see some things that others did not get to see. The other 12 was Peter, James, and John. In John chapter 17, he called them aside. They went to the mountain and they got to see the transfiguration of Jesus Christ. After the Passover and the institution of his supper, and they sang the hymn and they went out to the Garden of Gethsemane, and that was the time of his great intercession, he called aside Peter, James, and John again. And he said to them, "Tarry with me." And he revealed his heart. Let's look. Matthew. Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 17 was the transfiguration. Matthew 26, verse 37 and verse 38 is the experience there in the Garden of Gethsemane. Verse 8, "Then he saith unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here." And then he said, "Watch with me." He revealed his heart unto them. The Lord said to the disciples in John chapter 15 at another occasion, he said, "I don't call you servants." He said, "I call you now friends." And then he spoke about what he had to reveal to them. I wonder tonight, where are we at? Are we servants? Are we friends? Are we ready to go just a little bit further to experience the purpose that God has for our life? Someone said that this purpose and this plan and this vision was a plan that was conceived by God in heaven, but it has to be birthed on earth. It has to be birthed on earth. That which he has, something to reveal, to let you begin to see. Now, a vision, I said a moment ago, doesn't come to everybody. God said that he knew Abraham, he could trust him, and he would not keep back from him that which he was going to do. I remember, I don't know how many years ago it was, Billy, that I heard you deal right here in this place or the next building on Psalms 103, I believe it is, where it says that God revealed his way to Moses and his acts to the children of Israel. Three chapters later, it deals with the fact that Israel forgot his works. But there was something he revealed to Moses because of that relationship he had with him. So, even though it's God's plan and purpose, a vision for every believer, all are not going to get it. God's not going to give a vision to carnal Christians. Do you know that? He'll not give a vision to a carnal church. In Genesis chapter 13, when did he impart this vision to Abram? Look in Genesis chapter 13 and verse 14. "And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him." Lot was that carnal Christian. It was after the separation of Lot that God let him see as far as he could see, to the north, south, and east, and west, the land that he was to give. And then God's not going to give a vision to the uncommitted. God will not give a vision to the unsurrendered. Know what he said about David. Look in the New Testament statement that's made about David in Acts 13:22. As you look for that, I'll remind you of Deuteronomy 29:29. It says, "The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but the things that have been revealed to us have been revealed for us to do." A lot of Christians are just curious. They want to see what they can get out of the Word of God. but it's to satisfy their curiosity and not to fulfill.
Yeah.
You're looking for something else tonight from God. It may be that He'll not take you any further and will not reveal anything else to you tonight until you obey what God's already revealed to you.
Amen.
There are many believers tonight. God has revealed much truth. Then began to complain about, well, you know, the services. I just don't get out of services anymore what they used to be. They're dead and they're dry. Well, you're probably the one that's dead and dry because of the fact that you have not obeyed truth that God has revealed, and God is not obligated to take you any further or reveal any more truth until you reveal, till you fulfill, till you obey that which He's revealed.
Amen. That's right.
That's for individuals, that's for churches.
Amen.
God will not reveal truth to the uncommitted. In Acts 13:22, talking about Saul, when he removed him, he raised up unto him David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart. And God said, which shall fulfill all my will. Not just little something, you know. He said, he shall fulfill all my will. David was committed. And then the third thing, God will not give an individual, God will not give a people a vision. He'll not give it to those that cannot be trusted. To those that cannot be trusted. God doesn't give a vision for empire building. God doesn't give a vision for name building. God doesn't give a vision for reputation or for fame.
Amen.
For a man to build a ministry on, as many do today. And it goes with testing and trial. If you can't be trusted in that which is another man's, or that which is of no value, that which is least, how can he trust you with some real things? In Luke chapter 16, verse 11 and 12, and there are many verses, but for time's sake, now, I trust you pray, and you're praying. Because if you don't, I never will shut up. If you don't, it's going to be a test now. I mean, if you want to go home, you better pray. You better pray. I'll get across what is supposed to be gotten across. I'll speak up and shut up. In Luke 16 and 11 and 12, if therefore you have not been unfaithful in the unrighteous mammon, and there are other, many other things that could be substituted here for unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? The things that God wants to bless us with, we can't be trusted. I mean, probably the reason why some of us don't have money is because He can't trust us with it, because we wouldn't be a channel. You know, we'd take it as ours. And some of us it might be that way with talent and ability as well. He hasn't given it to us because we can't be trusted with it. We're going to use it to glory in the flesh. We're going to use it for ourselves. He says in verse 12, if you've not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Is there an area tonight where you can't be trusted in your life? If that's true, you'll not get that. You'll not get that vision. You'll not get that which God has for you. And I don't know what that vision may be. It could be claiming your family. It could be a soul somewhere. It could be souls. It could be a place. It could be a part of the world. It could be a country. But if you can't be trusted, it could be San Antonio, church. But what would you do if there was a great moving? If there was a great moving, would you end up being a super church? I mean, could you be trusted? Could you be trusted? Would you start 12, 15, 18, 20 churches in San Antonio? He'll not give a vision to carnal Christians. He'll not give a vision to the uncommitted, the unsurrendered. He'll not give a vision to those that cannot be trusted. The vision has to be of the Lord. In Genesis chapter 13, the Lord said to Abram, "Lift up now thine eyes." It was of the Lord. It didn't come from him. The Lord let him see. And then there's something else about a vision. It'll always be bigger than we are. See, if you can do it, then it's of you. When we can't do it, it's of God. And it'll have to be of him. He said, "I will do it. I will do it," he said to Abram or Abraham. And then you can mark down. Faith is always going to be tried and tested. A vision will be tried and tested. God gave Abraham also a vision of that promised son. And that all the nations of the world and all the families of the world would be blessed. And then God asked for him. Now, it sounded like a paradox, but God may ask that we give up that vision for the death of a vision as well. He may try, he will try, and prove our faith. And Abraham simply trusted God. And you know how God responded. Now go with me to the book of Habakkuk. And in chapter 2, and Habakkuk chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, the prophet said, "I'll stand upon my watch." And somebody was giving Brother Brian's little boy a rough time today about a watch. And it wasn't this kind of a watch that he was standing on. And he said, "I set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And as the Lord answered me and said, 'Write the vision, make it plain upon the tables, that he may run that readeth it.'" Now, two things were implied in the writing and making this vision large. Apparently, in his running. This implied urgency. Urgency when God gives a vision. There's an urgency when God calls a man. There's an urgency. Brother Joshua dealt with that very ably tonight in Romans chapter 10 of the urgency of preaching the gospel. There's an urgency. And then there's something else here. This involved a message, but the message was not, this vision was not to be, was not to be kept or hoarded for the person to whom it was given. Vision is yet, verse 3, "for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry to come, it will not tarry." Now, he was commanded to write the vision. I'm amazed today at what I hear from many missionaries that are going to the field. I've said this many times, you may have heard me say it. Many are like Christopher Columbus. He didn't really know where he's going. He didn't know where he was when he got there. When he got back home, he didn't know where he'd been. Many say, "I'm going to win souls and I'm going to start churches." But there's more to it than that. There has to be a plan, or has to be a strategy. That may be that vision that God may give. But if it's from God, there's several things that will be true in this vision. It will be something that's communicable to someone else. In other words, if you can't articulate it, if that vision cannot be communicated, it's probably yours. It's probably not the Lord's. His are always very clear. His will be practical. His will be understandable. You know, when our government gets involved in things, the bureaucracy, and they come up with all these programs, they're not practical. They may write it 2-3 books and thousands of pages deal with the program, but it'll be very ambiguous. It'll not be understandable, and it'll be certainly very complicated. That's not the way God's visions are. It'll be very, very understandable. It'll be uncomplicated and be very easily implemented. That's God's program. That's God's plan. It'll always line up with the Word of God.
Amen. That's right.
You'll always be able to find the foundation, the basis, and the instructions in the Word of God. That's the reason why He hasn't given us a task that's impossible to fulfill. With everything that He's commanded us to do, everything is available and everything is provided. Look with me at a verse in John chapter 11 and in verse 40. And here the Lord was about to raise Lazarus from the dead. And his sister Martha had a problem. And she said, by this time he stinketh, he's been dead 4 days. In verse 40, Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? That vision, that purpose, that plan, that which God has just for you. If thou simply wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God. You see, Lazarus couldn't get up and come out of there. They couldn't raise him, but he could. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 again, it's not overly simplistic. It's real. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And again, there may be in the back of your mind and depth of your heart somewhere, well, that's okay. That's okay for some of the others tonight, but I'm not sure that that's what God has for me. He does have something for you. And Hebrews 11:6 follows it up, says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that cometh to him must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. I wish we had time tonight to follow through and see some things involved with several of the visions in the Bible. But I just want to remind you of Isaiah chapter 6. A vision that Isaiah got in chapter 6 and verse 1, he saw the Lord high and mighty and lifted up. Then he saw the seraphim who were about the throne, and their doxology and their praise was holy, holy, holy. And he saw the holiness of God. And when he saw the holiness of God, for the very first time, he saw himself as he was. He had no excuse. The only thing he could do was cry out, woe is me. Now, in chapter 5, he'd been pointing a finger at his nation. And he'd pronounced 6 woes on the nation of Israel. But you know, when he saw the holiness of God, when he caught that vision of the Lord, he wasn't looking at somebody else any longer. He saw himself as God saw him, and the only thing he could do was cry out, woe is me. I'm undone. I'm unclean. I dwell in the midst of a wicked people, and so on. And then one of the seraphims came to him from the altar, and he was pronounced clean. The altar of God is the cross of Calvary.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
The altar of God is the cross of Calvary. And there's cleansing tonight.
Amen.
Could you get a vision of the Lord? Have you had a vision of the Lord? Have you had a vision of self? Have you had a vision of the altar of God? See, if that's not true tonight, then you'll not get a vision for the world. You'll not hear. You'll not understand. You see, and that was the Trinity. That was God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, who said, "Who will go for us?" And then Isaiah could respond, "Here am I, send me. Here am I, send me." Is there a vision you can claim? Not in your strength, not in any manner, but simply taking God at His word tonight when He said, "I will do it." May we bow our heads together. Every head bowed, every eye closed. May we wait before the Lord.